you know, I've always kept them in prayer. They've always seen me, you know, with the Bible or something, and teaching Sunday school and teaching them in church and going to church and being about family. You just got to keep them rooted in Christ.
Indeed you do. I think you understand where we're headed for today's show. We're going to talk about your kids. We're going to talk about instructing your kids, loving your kids, teaching your kids about faith. What does the scripture teach? We live in a very difficult world. We live in a world where your children are being influenced by many sources, many of them evil, frankly, drawing them away from faith. So it's an important place to be intentional. In fact, whoever is most intentional with your kids, listen, this is important. Whoever is most intentional with your kids is going to win. Hey, I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. The question is, what one thing are you doing to build faith in your family with your kids? We'd love to have you join in, share your comments live on our storyline at 888-888-1717. Again, share live on our storyline today, because on air, the program, the calls are coming from a best of recorded show, and those are all set and ready to go, and we'll get to those in just a moment. But we want to hear from you so we can share your thoughts on an upcoming program. You know, when I think about all the priorities of life, raising our kids, training our kids, getting our kids educated, helping them learn to have manners and relate well with other people, there's nothing more important than teaching our children about the Lord Jesus and growing in their faith and belief in one who came to die for them. And that's what we want to talk about today. So come on in. Again, welcome your comments. What one thing are you doing to build faith in your child's life?
I'd like to share concerning my mother, someone that touched my life more than anyone. My mother was a sharecropper, and we didn't have a whole lot. But one thing my mother gave me, being a child, was she taught her children how to pray. And if I could look back over my life, if there was a mentor, it would be my mother, teaching us how to pray. She taught us we ought to always pray. If we didn't do anything else, pray.
Very good for you. Hey, listen, those are the things that make a difference. What are you teaching your kids about faith? Let's go. Sean first, Lubbock. Hi there, Sean. How are you today?
Hi. I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for your call.
Yes, I love listening to y'all. I like to hear the input, especially when the days are, you know, the devil's trying to get at you and you're like, no, I'm not going to let him win, because you know what? God gave us joy and he woke us up this morning.
Amen.
So.
It starts early and you got to start with the first breath in the day, don't we?
That's right. You have to, because you got to be thankful. There's maybe somebody out there that's got a worse life than you. You got to be thankful for what you have.
Guaranteed about that. So what are you doing to pass all this good stuff on to your kids about faith?
I've always kept them in prayer. They've always seen me, you know, with the Bible or something, and teaching Sunday school and teaching them in church and going to church and being about family and saying the family is the only thing you have. I mean, you know, you have everything else, but, you know, everything else is just an added bonus, you know, an added blessing. You just got to keep them rooted in Christ, you know. And
yeah, so what are some real specific things you do?
Oh, I read the Bible with my grandkids. I've got grandkids. My girls are grown now, and it's been hard letting them grow up.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm thankful that I, you know,
are you going to cry about? You going to cry about letting your kids go?
Yeah, well, sometimes it's hard.
Yeah,
because you see them making decisions that you're like, you're wanting them to say, okay, you go ahead and make your decisions, but you don't feel like it's right.
Yeah.
But you got to have trust in God that you've gave them enough input that they're putting their trust in God that they're doing the right thing for their kids.
Absolutely, I think this thing of parenting is never over, Sean.
Oh, I know. Believe me, I've known it. My mother has brain cancer, and you know we have. Still, and I'm thankful.
That's good.
It is hard to see a parent that suffer. And as a parent yourself, you're having to try to be the strong one in the family when it's your mother that was always the strong one.
That's hard. Yeah, I've been down that road. That's difficult.
And
what's your mom's name, Sean?
Glenda.
Glenda?
Uh-huh.
Can I pray for you guys?
Yeah.
Let me do that, because I know you've got a real heart of service and love for your family, and yet loss is a part of our experience. And it's a word to everyone. Being a Christian doesn't mean we're immune from this stuff. We just have the power when we face it. That's the difference. Lord, I pray for Sean, for her mom, Glenda, for letting go, being in this generational squeeze, caught in the middle. Difficult Father, but the trust that Sean has in you, that she's passing on to her family, is a beautiful thing. Thank you for her, and bless her today, and may she find strength as she walks through this day with you today. Amen. Thank you, Sean.
And you have a blessed day, and we're going to enjoy listening.
Glad you're listening.
And a friend told me one time that she always prayed for her children. Oh, God, please help them resist temptation. But if they can't resist temptation, let them be caught immediately and punished mercifully. And it is amazing how God answers that prayer, to the point where the older kids once said to one of the younger ones, how can you be so stupid? You know that prayer, Mom says. And you were caught before you even got home. They were on the phone telling Mom and Dad what you did wrong. Yay, God.
There's a prayer. Mark it down. Use it. Talk to God about your kids in advance. Merciful, but get them caught, right? Hey, Rick is in Midland, Michigan. Hey, Rick.
Hello.
Welcome to the program today, my friend. How are you doing?
Wonderful, thank you.
Terrific.
You know, my wife and I have always been very active and involved in our church, and one of the things that we always wanted to do is our children would show them practical ways to exercise faith. And so, you know, one of the ways that we did that is as we were growing up, we kept them involved, if you would, or in tune with our finances, never to the point where if the finances were bad, they were worried about them, but yet that they knew where our finances were. And then through that, we showed them that through our obedience of tithing to God, He was always faithful to take care of our needs. You know, there were times that, you know, it was like the last hour, as they say. But God would always come through. He would always take care of our needs, and to this day, He still does. And I just thank the Lord that that carried on into our kids' lives, and they are seeing that now exercised in their lives.
Fantastic. Well, you are getting really practical, and when we can teach our kids about finances, we consider that to be one of the five essential areas of life. When we travel and teach, we always focus on five essential areas, faith being number one, foundational, but finance is always one of those. And the Bible says so much, and where our treasure is, there's our heart, teaching our children about God's treasures, ultimately are learning that we don't own anything, and we give back to Him. It's a great message. Thank you, Rick, my friend. Appreciate it. Let me go to Marion in Tucson. Hi, Marion.
Hi, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate your call. What are you learning about faith or teaching your kids about faith?
Well, you know, part of my marriage vows was to raise a godly heritage.
Mm-hmm.
But sadly enough, my husband divorced me after 14 years, just suddenly. And I fell apart, and he dropped out of my two daughters' lives. And
how old were your daughters at the time?
At the time, they were 8 and 10.
Wow. Difficult time. These young girls developing identity and their sense of value and purpose.
I have lived with condemnation from the enemy of my failure to root and ground my children in the Word of God.
So did that affect you then in how you parented?
Yes, it did. I didn't put boundaries in place. I felt they were so hurt, and so I would, you know, let them do or let them have what they want.
So you were operated more out of guilt
than
out of confidence.
Well, I praise the Lord that now I've had healing, and mainly through Family Life Radio. But I'm calling today because I am very concerned about my 4-year-old granddaughter. My middle daughter was a single mom when she had Soraya. And God placed this little baby in my arms when she was 2 days old. And I virtually raised her till 3 and a half. But now my daughter is in another relationship. She's living with her boyfriend. He is not a believer. He is extremely controlling.
Well, I tell you, Marion, listen, when you have a situation like this, and you just said it, you don't want to be in a spirit of condemnation. You know, beating yourself up is not going to do you any good. And when the Bible says that that He forgives, if we're faithful and just, you know, he's faithful and just. There's always justice and faithfulness if we confess our sins. And then you move on with confidence. But if you have a concern for your daughter, if you have a concern for her, then you have a responsibility to, with confidence, to call her aside and sit down and talk to her. You need to address issues with her. You need to be intentional with her in terms of what your observations are and how you can help her and stand with her. We get young people who grow up, they get married, they get in multiple relationships, they make bad decisions. And as a result of these decisions, there's always consequences that have to be dealt with. And so, you know, the key, Marion, is to be very transparent with your daughter and be very observant. You know, we want to support our kids, but at the same time, we have an obligation at times to sit down and talk about the things that we're concerned about. You can do that, but you've got to be intentional in the process. What is the source of procrastination? You know, you think about procrastination, we all wrestle with it at some point, but it really is an intentional living problem. Because procrastination is when we have a good intention, maybe even a goal, but we choose not to act on it. Why do we do that? What is the one thing that keeps you from acting on the goals and the intentions of your life? And you know, I answer that in this month's lesson that I call Intentional Living 101. It's the basics of intentional living. And one of the things I discuss is about procrastination. There's a reason for it. There's a source for it. And there's also a solution for it. And I talk about that in this month's lesson. And when you're thinking, what's this month's lesson? Well, every month I get the opportunity to create a brand new lesson. And I teach it both video and audio. And we send it exclusively to our intentional living support community. Those of you who are so faithful and standing with us in support, it's a way of updating what's going on in the ministry and then bringing you a lesson to encourage you. And you know what? Before we move on to the rest of the show, I just want to say thank you to those of you who have been so faithful in supporting us over the last number of months and years. Thank you. We live in a very difficult time in this world. We live in a time now more than ever that I believe that if we are not intentional in raising our kids, intentional in growing our faith, being intentional in holding our family together and building our marriage relationship, the stresses of the world are there to pull us apart. There's much there that will be demanding us to head in a different direction. So I encourage you today to think intentionally, to understand what this means to be an intentional follower of Jesus Christ. And we'd love to come alongside of you and encourage you. Members, you automatically receive our teaching every month. You help us keep this radio program, podcast, the digital ministry, everything that we create going here and around the world. And for those of you that join us today and become a new member of the Intentional Living community, with your monthly support, we'll make sure that you receive both the audio and video teaching for this month on Intentional Living 101. How to overcome procrastination, how to avoid distraction, how to understand the difference between setting a goal and being intentional. They're related, but they're different. And then the power of doing one thing every day. So this lesson will be very encouraging to you and very informative as well. So watch for it. New members, we'll get it to you. Again, come and join us today. Can I encourage you to just stop what you're doing for a minute, go online and say, hey, we want to be a part of intentional living. Again, go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and click on the donate icon.
I have been a single dad that has my kids 365, 24/7 for the last 13 and a half years. And I've had to be mom and dad, and I'm not used to that. And I need something so that with them now being 13 and 14 years old, that I don't lose my cool with them. Something that I can eliminate, either walk away. I need something that I can remember to do, a constant reminder of, I've only got the next 4 years with them for them being in the house, and then they're going to go out on life on their own. And I want the last 4 years to be the best years they have with their dad.
Hey, Dad, you're wise and you're right in wanting to have that one thing that's a reminder when you're ready to lose your cool and regret later.
that'll help you keep your perspective and your cool as a parent. And I think you diagnosed yourself well. I mean, you've just given yourself several solutions to your question. I love the one you mentioned about, hey, I only have 4 years left. Maybe you need to tattoo that on the back of your eyelids, as it were, and the next time you find yourself ready to lose your cool, the first thought that comes to your mind is, hey, Dad, 4 years. Hey, Dad, only 4 years. Hey, Dad, a short time left. If that's one thing that'll help you keep your cool and keep your perspective, then make that your one thing. You know, one of the things I've discovered in working with people over the years is it's not cookie cutter answers. Everybody's different. You're different than I am. And some things that'll work for you may not work for me. But I do know this, and this is what we teach in the lesson this month, building a daily action, committing to say, I'll do one thing every day for the next 30 days, then that'll help you make that a habit in your life. And once it becomes a habit, hey, listen, a habit can change your life, either good or bad. Hey, you know what? We're talking about kids and faith today. Love your comments. 888-888-1717. God has a unique plan for our children despite us, which I'm thankful for. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with another Intentional Living Minute. Abraham had two sons. One was named Isaac, the other Ishmael. And when Sarah demanded that her maidservant Hagar's and Abraham's son Ishmael leave the camp, the story sort of fell over. Yet, as God so often does, the story was only beginning. It says in Scripture that God spoke up and said, I will turn the son of the maidservant into a nation also. God writes the story of our lives through His grace. Don't write off your children too soon. Or maybe you grew up in a home where your parents didn't encourage you, didn't prepare you for the future. God has something very special for you. The story of your life is not over, even though your parents didn't help write the story for you. Live your life intentionally today.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
Honey, can you run a couple of errands for me?
Where?
The pharmacy, the deli, and the car needs gas.
I don't know.
What do you mean?
That's a lot of places to go. Across town, through town, around town. I wish things were more like the Intentional Living mobile app.
Now I'm really confused.
It's everything Intentional Living, all in one place. I downloaded it from my app store, and it's got links to web resources, podcasts, shortcuts to Intentional Living on Facebook and Instagram.
That's great! Let me look at your phone while you run those errands, hmm?
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy.
Okay, thank you much, Kurt. Appreciate it. And if you've just joined us, this is the Intentional Living Center. From this place, we do our research, we create videos and resources, do our national radio program, worldwide streaming online, and that's why we do this. We're very passionate. We don't live in a world with lack of information. You can Google anything about anything. The issue is one of execution, knowing the right thing to do and then doing it. Scripture says to figure out what pleases Christ and then do it, Ephesians 5:10 in the Message. And that's sort of at the core and the heart of what Intentional Living Message is filled with, a lot of hope, a lot of hope. And we're here for your life. That's why we're on the air every day. Today, we're asking a simple question. What are you doing specifically to teach your kids about faith? Audra is in Lubbock. Hi there, Audra.
Hey.
What about this faith thing with kids? What are you learning?
Well, I have my son with me right now. He's 19 now. But when he was little, we lived in Alpine, Texas. It was a mountainous terrain. And I told him, I said, you know, faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. And he took me so literal. He went up in my cabinet and got some mustard seeds that I had bought to show people how large a mustard seed is. And he ate a whole bunch of them. And he's like, he's got a lot of faith in him, right? And we were driving down the highway, and he looked over at the mountains, and he said, mountains, move in the name of Jesus. And I never thought much of it, but like the next day, they had a small earthquake in Alpine. never happens. And I mean, it was very easy, you know. And I always brought that to my memory later. He said, it moved a mountain. And I was like, wow. Because I know that they're talking about, you know, mountains in your life, you know, problems and stuff. But that was just a wow moment for me. And then later, he just showed me that he had much faith. He was always that way. And I'd tell him, you know, we are to charge our giants like David charged Goliath. We are to charge our problems that way and have faith that God is going to take us through it and get us through. And he really believed it. And I had gotten sick when he was younger, and he prayed. I was healed. I mean, they said I had congestive heart failure, that I was not going to make it. I mean, I had pneumonia. It was bad. I was on my deathbed.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, Audra, God has a way, if we have sensitivity in our spirit, and as children, I think children just naturally have this potential for more sensitivity, to have those God moments, to catch God's presence. You know, the other morning last week when we were coming to the office early, I was watching I think it was Venus, before the sun would come up. And thinking to myself, here's Venus, 20, 30 million miles from here. And that's one of our closest planets. And you look out into the vastness of the night sky and see the wonder of God's creation. There are so many ways that we can help our children see. There you are with your horses to see some of these magnificent creations of God that we have on this planet. These things are not random. They're not chaotic. They're by the process of God's touch, by his hand, by his creation, that these things exist. Powerful. Okay, Audra, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. I got to get Elizabeth on here. She's been waiting just down the road from you in Midland, Texas. Hey, Elizabeth. Hello, Elizabeth. Are you there? Elizabeth is there, but apparently... Elizabeth, is that you?
Yeah, this is Elizabeth.
All right, there, we found you. What have you learned about faith, Elizabeth?
Well, you asked the question, what have you been doing intentionally to teach your children about, you know, the Word?
Right.
And I wanted to share what we've been doing.
Go for it.
Well, it has to be intentional because it can't be by accident. We're celebrating the Passover feast and basing ourselves with the Bible. We're doing a very tangible way and being able to teach the children about this. And it's not only about the history of it, but it's the spiritual sense of it.
You know, I think that's a very good point, Elizabeth. I know you're probably referring to like the Seder dinner, where there's a picture of God's protection again through that. I think one thing that we don't have a lot of, unfortunately, even in our own evangelical community, is enough tradition. And I know there's always the fear that it becomes, you know, rote and it becomes legalistic and so on. But a certain amount of tradition, some of these traditions can be very positive for us. And they build into the lives of our children a sense of wonder and a sense of expectation and a sense of tradition. So I applaud the fact, Elizabeth, that you and your family are doing something very practical to teach your kids about faith by some of these celebrations. I think that can be a positive thing, certainly. Thank you for your call from Midland, Texas. Midland, Texas. Wherever you are today, tell us your story. You can share it on our story line at 888-888-1717.
My name is Kathy. I have a daughter who is now 30. When she was 26, she was talking to me and she said she no longer believes in God because of the bad things that happen to people. And I asked her if there was anything I could say that would change her mind, and she said no. I said, okay, that's fine. I said, can I pray for you? And she said, well, if you still believe, then yes, you can. And I told her that I was convicted of my faith, and we talked about it for a while, and she asked me where she would go if she were laying on her deathbed right now, and I were talking to her, and I told her she would go to hell. And here's the thing that impressed me most. She thanked me for being honest with her, because she said most of the Christian friends that she had, when she told them that she no longer believed in God, they all said, well, you know, maybe you won't go to hell because God knows your heart and he's the only one that does and he's the only one that can judge. She thanked me for being honest with her. And that's kind of where we're at right now. I leave it in God's hands. He knows everything that's going to happen to everybody in their life throughout their entire life. So he knows if she's going to come back to him or not. But every day, out loud in the morning, I do pray that he fills her heart with the Holy Spirit and pulls her back to him. It saddens me. It frightens me. But I leave it in God's hands. And we do talk about faith. She just informs me she still doesn't believe. And that's my story. Bye.
One of these days we all will stand before the Lord and give a reason for everything.
Trusting in God, you hear that mom share her heart, her burden, her concern, her love, and her honesty with her daughter. And I was thinking as I was hearing her testimony, how some of you were responding to that. Some of you were offended that mom would be that honest with her daughter and appearing to be so unloving. In a day and age in which, let's face it, we don't hear the truth of the gospel sometimes. We hear the loving part, but not the justice part of God's eternal justice. And in fact, it says in the scripture, in the Corinthians, Paul says that the preaching of the gospel is an offense to those who are perishing. Boy, obviously we need to speak the truth in love. That's biblical. We need to do so in a way that honors God and know that God is a caring, loving Father. But we need to speak the truth. Let's pray for that mom. Remember her today, okay? And for that daughter. Maybe the story today we talk about kids and faith isn't the... Maybe you're closer to that story than a hopeful story. But today, trusting God completely today, okay? Hey, thanks for joining us. I want to say thanks to our members. They make this program possible. Thank you, members, for your ongoing, faithful, continual support for Intentional Living. God bless you. If you're not on the team, come and join us, theintentionallife.com. And for the entire team here, we'll see you next time from the Intentional Living Center.